He said, yes, I saw Job. He said, well, boy, I'm so proud of him. He is so faithful. Said, you know what? The other day, he was offering sacrifices for his children, lest they forget a sin that they committed that they didn't offer a sacrifice for. Isn't that great? He really is looking out for his family. He is faithful. He serves me, does my will. And the devil said, yeah, but you let him have a hard time. You let him let me trouble him a little bit, and he won't be calling your name like you want to. He'll be cursing your name. God said, I tell you what, you do that. You can trouble Job. You can bother him for just a little bit. But now you can't kill him. So he starts in. And if you read this first chapter here, he starts in, what is it, about verse 14. And a messenger comes in. First messenger comes in. He said, listen, you know all those donkeys? And they were feeding all your oxen. Man, they stole every one of them. Now, they got all of them. Every one of them's gone. And so you don't have any more. And then in verse 15, he said, when the Sabanites, I just mentioned that. That's right there. Y'all read it now. When the Sabanites came in and they took all these, killed all the servants, and I'm the only one that got through. Then he starts in verse 16 here. He talks about there was a great fire that fell from heaven, and it just consumed the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one that got loose. Then you go over to the next verse, verse 17, and the camels were there. And here these people, the Chaldeans, came, and they captured all the camels and got them and carried them away and killed all the servants. I'm the only one that got away. And it seemed like it was one right after the other. They were standing in line with bad news. And that's all they were giving him. And then in verse 18, he talks about, you know, your sons and daughters, they were over his eldest son, and they were having a party, a good time, and the wind came and blew the house over, and it fell on them, and every one of them is dead. Oh, man. You talk about trouble and problems, but he's a man of God. He's not supposed to have those things. Well, yes. People of God have problems that they have to deal with too. And so here it is. Here's the problems that he had to deal with. Not only that, his wife is going to tell him, won't you just go ahead and curse God and die? God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. His three friends come. They say, what sin have you committed? I hadn't committed any sin. Oh, yeah. God doesn't punish people like you've been punished unless they have committed a really, really bad sin. Why don't you repent? And we'll pray with you. Hadn't committed any sins. Now, can you think about all the things that he's had to go through, all the pressures that, wait a minute, I thought if you were a Christian, things were going to go good for you. I thought if you were a Christian that God was looking over you and he was going to guard over you. Where's that at? Why do people have to suffer those things? Now, I want to try to get you to understand, and it's hard to understand it sometimes when you're in the midst of the problems, to understand that there are things that, got to find my little clicky thing, there are things that we need to know about trouble. Don't look at it as the worst thing in the world, but look at it as something that you need to learn a lesson from. Sometimes we miss the greatest lessons because we're so upset that we've got to go through it. Now, the first thing he says here is to increase our dependence. We've got problems that come on us to increase our dependence upon God, that we learn to trust in him. Now, here in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walks about, what we talked about a while ago, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to this. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood. You're not the only one that's gone through stuff like this. And you're not going to be the only one. You're going to have to understand that. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, that's how it's done, after you have suffered a while, it will perfect you, it will establish you, it will strengthen you, it will settle you. See, problems have the tendency for us to call on God or to turn away from God. And we determine what it's going to be. I determine if I'm going to let the problems that I've got to deal with in my life, if I'm going to let those things cause me to turn away from God. And it's not the problem that's doing it. It's what I'm doing with the problem. And so what we've got to do is understand the dependence that we have and that we need in that. We need to learn to trust in God. Not only just when times are good. It's easy to trust in God if health is good, if your family is good, if everything's going your way, if you've got money and all that. But how do you trust in God when you lose your job? How do you trust in God when your house is blown away? How do you trust in God? And Brother Stewart was talking about the 300, and I think last time I read, 360 people out west that their house was burned because of the forest fires. And a preacher comes up and said, you need to trust in God. That fellow better run from some of those people if he goes up and tells them that. Because that, it's hard for us to realize that. So what, when times are good, we need to understand about this thing of suffering and understand how it can help us. And you know, the idea of trusting in God is difficult. We have a problem even trusting in people that we can see. Seminars are held for businesses where they take people out in the woods to try to teach them how to trust in each other. And you know that one where the person is standing there and they're supposed to just kind of fall back and these other people are going to catch them? I'm always thinking it's going to be like I saw on television. Those people are going to say, what? And poof, you go. It's hard to trust people you see. How are you going to trust God you can't see? How do you do that? How do you accomplish that? We've got to be people that we're willing to do that. We've got to be people that we're willing to trust God when times are going bad, when things are not like we want to, but we still glorify the name of God. We show to the world what this is. We have the world to understand the strength that is there. I used an illustration, I think, in Bible class this morning that's found in Matthew 23, about verse 37. When Jesus is talking about Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Those that have killed the prophets and those who have sent... Who are sent to you, have stoned those who are sent to you, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks. And we talked about the mother chicken that opens her wings and does that little cluck, whatever it is, and those little chickens will come up under her wing to guard. That's what God wants to do. Trouble's on the way. God wants to protect us. God wants to help us. But what we've got to do is understand He's there to help us. He's there to protect us. And so when the problems come, let's prepare ourselves. The next time I've got to deal with a difficulty, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to stand or sit or lay or do whatever I got to do. I'm going to pray to God. God, thank you that you've given me this and I can show your glory in it. I can show who you are in my life. I can show my faith to these people. And these people in the world, they can understand it. They can know about it. Now, second thing we can learn about this. Okay, yeah, I got the second one. It is to reveal the truth to us. It is to reveal truly how faithful we really are. And help us to see, because that's what we need. I need to see how faithful I am. I think I'm faithful, but I don't have any problems. I don't have any difficulties. I need to learn how to show my faith to others and help others to see that. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and verse 2, listen to what they say. And you shall remember that the Lord your God, He led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, why did God put people there in the wilderness? Listen to what it says here. The wilderness to humble you. And to test you, to know what was in your heart. To help you to know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep His commandments or whether you would not. So we know the purpose of their wandering. We know the purpose of that. And that could be considered as trouble and difficulties that was there for those people. But God sent them there so that they could learn something. There was a lesson in that. Anytime we have trouble, anytime we have problem, there's a lesson to be learned in that, and we need to learn the lesson. If we don't, we may blame God for it. We may blame God for it. We may turn away from God because we don't know how to trust in Him. And sometimes We just don't know how to do that. We've got to learn the idea of understanding that in difficulties there are lessons to learn that can help us to follow God. These people had to be tested. Were they tested by God? Yes. Some people have a problem with that. You mean God's going to test me? Yes. Why does He want to do that? Does He want me to fall? No. He may want you to see how strong you are. Or see how weak you are. He may want to help those around you to see what a person can do that has a faith in God and they can depend on God when these difficulties come. That's what He may be trying to do in this. These people there, they faced difficulties, they faced troubles, but there was a reason for that. There was a reason for the troubles and the problems that they had to face. In Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, Jesus was carried into the wilderness, and He was tempted 40 days. Then He was carried and placed on these pinnacles and all these other things to show Him, you can have the kingdoms of the world. Ask God to send His angels down to take care of you. Do all these things. He went through all of those things there. Even the Lord did. Now, I firmly believe that for it to be a temptation, for it to be trouble, that Jesus had to be tempted in this. This is showing a part of His humanity. Who He was as a human. He could be tempted, but He was obedient to His Father. He was obedient to do what His Father told Him to do, and so He was willing to follow His Father. He didn't care what it was. He was going to do what God wanted Him to do. He was going to be that servant of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 36, still others had trials of mocking and scourging. Yes, and chains and punishment. Don't think you're the only one that suffers. Sometimes we think, we get so selfish, we think we're the only one that suffered this before. There is not anything in this world that you're going to face that somebody else has not already had to face that. Now, some of those people were faithful. Some of those people were not. Some of those people turned to God. Some of those people turned away from God. It's how they used what they had was the important thing, and how we use our troubles and our problems. It's not a matter of, you know, we may have troubles. It's when we're going to have those troubles. And we know that. They're going to come. So why not prepare for those things before? Then the third thing here, we need to learn to be obedient. Hebrews 5 and verse 8, here's Jesus Christ. He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. Now, this is the Lord who learned how to be obedient. How did He do that? Because of the things that He had to go through. He saw, even in the suffering, how the Father was. He saw who the Father was. He saw how strong the Father was. And He saw how much He depended on the Father, how much He trusted in the Father to do the Father's will. Jesus was our high priest, but He had to go through that in this world. If the high priest of God has to go through that, aren't we going to have to go through it? Are we going to have to endure those things and understand those sufferings, those things that are troubling, that are bothering? And I'm not saying they're easy to go through. I'm not saying it's easy to have faith. Sometimes it's hard to have a faith, but we're still supposed to have it. We're still supposed to continue having that faith. We often learn some of our greatest lessons. I've said this before, say it again. We've often learned some of our greatest lessons in the time of suffering, in the time of heartache, in the time of difficulty. Our obedience has often led other people to see how that we can endure this and how that they can also endure it. They need to understand that, and they need to see us as Christians do that, and that will help them. Now, look at this. Number four, problems and difficulties help us to address our pride. Now, we're all proud people to a certain extent, and we got a pride about us, and we kind of relish in that just a little bit. But what we need to do sometimes is understand how difficult it really is. Paul talked about how you restore somebody that's fallen. He said, restore them like a doctor would a broken arm or a broken leg. How would you like to be restored? How would you like for somebody to talk to you about sin in your life? Well, how do they like somebody talking to them? Would you want them to be gentle or just come up to you and say, okay, you've sinned and you're in trouble? Would you want to do that to somebody? Or would you want them to try to, in tenderness, try to help you to understand what that is and the difficulties that they've got to face in that? We've got to understand that, and it helps us to deal with it because it takes away that pride. I don't think you can really, really comprehend the idea of helping people deal with sin in their life until you realize the sin in your life. I don't think we can do that. When we realize our sin, then we can help other people with their sin. If we don't realize our sin, we might need to stay away from them because we won't do it in the right way to try to help them to be the better person. Listen to James 1, 2, and 3. It says something now. I'm reading it, but it's hard, okay? Listen to this. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, different trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh continual, keeps on working patience. Now, I can read it, but boy, it's hard to believe it. I got to count it all joy when I'm dealing with something that is so terrible and awful in my life. It said, learn something from it. Learn something from that will help you. Learn something that will help you to be able to know how to deal with that. There was a fellow riding on his plane, and the stewardess came by and said, you need to fasten your seatbelt. And he was a bachelor, and she was very good looking, so he's going to flirt with her a little bit. He said, Superman don't need a seatbelt. She said, Superman don't need an airplane either. Fasten your seatbelt. Sometimes we think how wonderful and great we are, but it's all in our mind, and it can bust like a bubble. So why not help God to understand that? And that's part of these troubles and problems that we've got to deal with so that we can understand that and understand how it is. Oh, I went too far that time. I must have passed the wrong button. Okay, there it is. We learn in our problems to glorify God. We should glorify God in whatever we have. We should thank God for whatever He gives to us, because if He gives us a temptation, if He gives us trouble in our lives, He says we can endure it. If it's coming from God, it's something that we can overcome. If it's coming from Satan, it's something that we can overcome. Job did it. Was it hard on him? Yes, it was. Was it difficult for him? Yes, it was. But he overcame this. And he was willing to put his trust in God. It means we glorify God no matter what happens. We thank God for what we have to deal with in our life. Now, I think of what Paul told the people of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. They thought they were suffering greatly. He said, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. In other words, you're not suffering anything. You're not suffering anything that no one else has not already suffered. So don't think you're the only one. Other people have. How did they deal with it? How do we deal with it? How do we handle it? How do we handle those difficulties that are in our life? God's grace provides a help for us, and we know He's always there. We know He's always going to help us no matter what the trouble, no matter what the problem. God's going to be there with us. God is everywhere. What is it, Psalm 119? If I go down to the depths of the sea, God's there. If I go here, if I go as far in the sky, God's there. Wherever I go, God's there. God is there, and He's with us. And He's always got the best in store for us. He always wants to help us to be able to do the best. So here we've got a God who cares for us, who wants to help us. Problems, troubles, let me tell you something. We're going to have to deal with them. What we've got to do now is understand how to deal with those problems, how to deal with those struggles now. Because if they're coming, and it's not a matter of if they're coming, it's just when they're coming. We've got to learn to handle that. And so what we better do is take the time when things are going good and use them to grow in our faith so that when things are not going good, we can trust in God more. We can depend upon Him. We can say, God's here with me. And let me tell you something. I understand troubles. I understand problems. I understand difficulties. And I know these things, some of these things are so hard. But I'm telling you something. God's always there. But it is easy for us in the midst of trouble to forget there's something we can learn that will help us in our Christian life to serve God. I know some of you are suffering right now. Some of you are going to suffer. Some of you may have been suffering for years with something that is so difficult and so hard to be able to deal with. But let me tell you something. God's not put more on you than you can handle. And God will help you. In fact, God has told your brothers and your sisters to help you to deal with that. To put that loving arm around them. To care for them, to help them in every way. You see, we're the hands and we're the arms and we're the breast of God where people can get comfort and they can get peace. They can have that trust there. Let us be those that show that. Let us be those that realize that. And we keep on trusting in God. We keep on depending upon Him. So whatever your trouble is, we want to try to help you. Whatever the problem is, we want to try to do what we can to encourage you in that and to lift you up in that. We want to try to do that because that's what God wants. He's going to help you. He's going to benefit you no matter what. Understand that and rejoice in that. If there's sin in your life, that can be dealt with. Very simply, not complicated. Repent. Pray God. If the thoughts and the imaginations of our heart are forgiven, we want that. And if you want that, we want to pray with you and for you for that. And we want to do that. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.